Welcome to God Keep Our Land. This is a show where we explore Canadian issues from a biblical Christian worldview. We are your hosts, Forrest and Reese Demon.
That's
hello.
Right.
Hello, Forrest.
Hello. Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day. This is the 1 year anniversary of our podcast.
That's right.
I mean, we did take a break for many months. So We don't have a year's worth of podcasts.
Some months.
But we have many podcasts.
That's right.
It's been a really fun ride doing these podcasts because we've interviewed people and we've talked about issues and we spoke to Rod Taylor, the leader of the Christian Heritage Party, spoke to John Barlow, a member of Parliament. We did
Joe
an interview
Boot.
With Joe Boot, which was really fun, and C.R. Wiley. Chris Wiley.
Yep. Gabe Wrench.
Gabe Wrench. Yeah. So, and oh, and Tanya Goff.
That's right.
Yeah. Is there any other interviews?
I think that's all our interviews.
That I can't remember now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and we've talked about things ranging from the church and some theology stuff to alcohol.
That's right. And logging.
Logging. And residential schools. Yep. And all kinds of really interesting things. And so I have really enjoyed this. I don't know how many listeners we really have. Maybe not a lot, but this is just fun for me. I like it. So it's pretty cool.
Agreed. And it's, I think it's fitting that, you know, we're about a month into the new name for our show being God Keep Our Land, and the fact that we started on July 1st last year, and now we're just embracing our Canadian patrioticness even more by calling ourselves God Keep Our Land.
That's right.
And it's exciting to, well, you know, just to make content and be a creator and do these things. I've been listening to a lot of stuff about creating, and they're like, you just got to get there. You just got to do it.
Just got to start.
We started, and then we stopped for a while, and we just had to start again.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we had to force ourselves to start again, really. It was this is like an inconvenient thing, but it's a fun, good thing to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's just do it and be happy about it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to talk about being patriotic, and specifically Canadian patriotism.
Right.
And what that looks like, and I think it's appropriate because this year you've had a lot of people with all that's come out with the residential schools talking about canceling Canada Day.
Right.
And you have whole cities canceling their Canada Day celebrations. And so, you know, one of the questions is, are they right to cancel Canada Day?
Right.
You know, what are we actually celebrating on Canada Day?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Did you have something that you wanted to say about it right from the start? Or should we jump into it?
Man, I don't know if there's anything in particular. Canada Day is, we've made it for our family into a time, a fun time since, oh man, we've been doing an annual Canada Day party for 8 years.
Right.
And so it's been part of, you know, I like Canada Day because I always know it's exciting, we're coming up to it, and, you know, there's the question about should we cancel Canada Day is a question that, I mean, to be honest, I didn't see much other than I saw the Conservatives saying we're not canceling Canada Day and stuff like that, so that kind of caught my eye and made me go, what's going on with all this? And yeah, so I don't know if I have anything really to start with. There's a lot to talk about. What is having a nation a good thing? Is having borders a good thing? You know, like, this gets into a whole lot of other things, and I think patriotism is an interesting topic, especially since we live in a country that more and more is against Christ and against Christians.
Yeah, that's something that came to my mind when we decided to do this topic, was that patriotism is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being patriotic is hard for everybody. No matter what side of the political aisle you stand on, no matter what your worldview is, patriotism can be difficult.
Right.
And So, like, right now, on for Christians, it can be hard to be patriotic because our nation is, like you say, going increasingly the wrong direction.
Right.
Going after the things of this world. And it can be difficult for conservatives when you have a... Especially, well, I'll even say for conservative Western Canadians, when you have a government that, like ours, that has not much great love for the West.
Right.
Yep. It can be hard for people on the left who look at things like the residential schools and say, and look at, you know, Canada's history of racism in certain areas and stuff like that, and they can have a hard time being patriotic, right? So it seems like everybody at different times and for different reasons has trouble being patriotic.
Yeah.
And so the tendency can be to say, to throw it all out.
Right.
To be like, well, we're not doing Canada Day. Or, I'm not celebrating Canada because Justin Trudeau's the Prime Minister.
Right.
Or, I'm not celebrating Canada because they... the government approves of abortion.
Right. Yeah.
And one thing that my wife pointed out to me this morning was when we celebrate Canada Day, we are not necessarily celebrating the Canadian government.
Right.
And I thought that that was a really insightful and good point.
I think we're probably almost definitely not celebrating the Canadian government.
Well, and but this is the thing, right? So, like, the people on the left who want to cancel Canada Day because of the residential schools are doing it because of the government.
Right.
Old government, right. Not the current government.
Yeah.
And so they want to just cancel Canada Day because how can we celebrate that government?
Right.
And you know what? I agree. Mm. How can we? We can't celebrate that government.
Right.
That government was terrible.
Yep.
But when we celebrate Canada Day, it's not about the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the current government or an old government. It's about... being Canadian. It's about the Canadian culture. It's about who we are specifically because of where we live.
Right.
Not because of what government happens to be reigning or happened to have reigned at one point or another.
Right.
Because if it was based entirely on the government, I wouldn't be celebrating Canada Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't like my provincial government or my federal government at the moment.
Yeah.
You know? They are... Yeah. And so... We have to think, why are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? And is it good to celebrate?
Right. Yep.
And I think it is. I think it's good to celebrate. I think it's good to be patriotic. I think we're allowed to be patriotic. But it's difficult, and actually takes some thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely does. And, I mean, it draws my mind to... a couple of things. I mean, one of the things that we've been talking about over the whole COVID situation has been what the responsibility of Christians are to the government, right? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. That is talking about, to a certain extent, the attitude that we're supposed to have towards the government. Now, when the government is doing something that is wrong, that creates difficulties. Because then, you know, the next verse in Romans 13 is, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Well, what happens when, we've talked about this, what happens when the government starts to reward bad and starts to punish good? And there is a subjection and a reverence and a submission that has to happen because of who we are as people under authority. And it's the principle of honor your father and mother extrapolated out to other authorities in our own life. One of the things, the general equity, if you will, of the honor your father and mother law that God gives is that we are to honor those who are in authority over us. We are to submit to those who are in authority over us. We are to obey those who are in authority over us. And we know the caveats of unless they're wanting you to sin, and then you don't obey someone or honor someone that wants you to sin. But in general, we are to honor our leaders as God's appointed, those whom God has appointed over us.
Yeah.
And I was reading today from Douglas Wilson, and he was talking about the way that we love our mother and father is the reason that we love our mother and father oftentimes is just because they are. Right. We love our family because they are our family. And that's, to a certain extent, what patriotism is we love our country and we love other Canadians because they're Canadians.
Yeah.
Because they're our brothers and sisters. They're our family. And we don't always agree with our family. We don't always like what our family's doing. We don't always think that what our parents are telling us to do is a good or right, you know, and we don't always want to submit to it. And in a similar way, when there's governments that we don't agree with, we're going to have trouble submitting to, say, extra tax laws or, you know, additional restrictions or and things like that we don't like, but that aren't sinful, and so we have to submit to them, right?
Yep.
And the idea that we can't be patriotic and that we can't have love for our brothers, our Canadian brothers and sisters, who are, you know, they happen to be born in the same place as us, but we have an affinity for them, right? Mm. That we don't have, you know, 20 minutes south of us where they're from Idaho.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. They're Americans, we're Canadians, we have love for Canadians, and we have love for Canada.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That just reminded me of that idea.
Yeah, I've heard lots of stories of people who are in another country, and they're surrounded by a whole bunch of people who don't speak the same language as them, who aren't from the same country, and then they meet up with a Canadian.
Right.
And it's like instant love.
Right.
Right? Instant yep. friendship, instant connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even if they're one's from BC and one's from Nova Scotia.
Right.
They still share, there is a culture that's shared there.
Yes.
There's a love that's yep. shared there. And even though it's like totally different geography, totally different everything, right? That is the ties that bind.
Right.
Right? And that's good. It's good to have people that you can love and yep. depend on. And that, I think, is what you celebrate. You know, I think one of the great things about Canada is... And it's kind of funny that I would say this because I think maybe people would get a different meaning out of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. One thing that I love about Canada is the diversity. Hmm. And a lot of people will say things like diversity is our strength and blah, blah, blah. And they're right. sort of pushing a certain political agenda.
Yeah.
I don't want to push a political agenda by saying that. I just like what I love is that there are so many different kinds of people who live in Canada and are comfortable living in Canada, and that Canada is a very kind, generous, welcoming place
right.
for all kinds of people.
Yeah.
We have worked for a guy from India who has moved here in the last like 5 years and has been able to buy businesses and to grow and to become part of the Creston community.
Yeah.
Because and of course there are going to be people who don't welcome them.
Right.
But by and large, they're welcome here.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. And they're welcome here by people on the left and people on the right.
Right.
People yep. From both sides are happy to have those people come from other countries and live here. And be friends with them,
right?
Right, and I think that that's great. Like when I was at school, there were people who came from places like Germany and Switzerland, and stayed in Canada, and we became friends with them. We didn't have any prejudice against them because they were from another country.
Right.
We had love for them, and we accepted them in. And maybe that's something you could say about any culture. I don't know. But it's something that you can certainly say about Canadian culture.
Right.
And it's something that I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the acceptance. Again, acceptance is such a charged word.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
All of these words are charged words, but... I think that they're good words when used properly, and
right.
and they are things to celebrate.
I agree.
Yeah, and so like looking at this idea of whether to celebrate Canada Day, I think we absolutely can celebrate Canada Day, and we can celebrate Canada Day while also recognizing that. Canadians, as sinners in this world, have done wicked things.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, there was a shooting in Nova Scotia.
Right.
Where a Canadian killed a whole bunch of other Canadians.
Right.
That guy was evil. Yep. And he was Canadian. And just because evil people can be Canadian doesn't mean that Canada is evil.
Right. Well, same thing with the residential school stuff right. that's going on right now. The people that perpetuated those things are evil.
Yeah.
The government that took children out of their homes and put them into the residential schools was an evil government. The church that the people that were supposed to be part of the church that treated the First Nations people poorly, they were evil and should not have done that. They were not Christian. They were not righteous. And so we can acknowledge that, and we can even acknowledge that, you know, Pastor Tim being in jail in Alberta is an evil thing, and Pastor Coates being in jail, and their church being surrounded by fences. These kinds of things are not right. They're not righteous. They're not good. We can see that the new bill against conversion therapy that was passed is not a good thing, right? That
yeah.
these types of things that we can acknowledge, no, this is not great, we can do that, but still love Canada. And still yeah. love a lot of the things about Canada, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to move to the United States. I mean, it's a fine place and everything like that, and I see benefits, and I see, oh man, I really like that about America. But it doesn't make me go, I want to leave Canada and go there.
Right.
I think I'm happy to go visit, and I'm happy to have friends, you know, that are wherever they are in the United States, you know, whether they're close or far, and... You know, we talked to C.R. Wiley, and we talked to Gabe Wrench, and, you know, C.R. is in Washington, not too far away from us, and Gabe Wrench is down in Moscow, and, you know, these people we can get to know and all of that, but I don't want to go and be American, even though I go, oh, they're great, and they're great friends and all that stuff. I still have an affinity for Canada and Canadian people and Canadian things. Well, and,
yeah, like, those guys... It's interesting, too, because we did a couple interviews with those guys who are from the States, but then we also did an interview with Joe Boot,
right.
who was born in the UK, but has been living in Canada, and in my mind, we had much more affinity with Joe than we did with Gabe
right.
and CR, because he has decided to live in Canada and to love Canada. And so
yeah.
even though he was born farther away, in a culture that's farther away,
yeah.
he is more in line with us and our loves
yeah.
than the other guys are, because they're very American-centric,
right.
and Joe is Canada-centric.
Yeah.
And I think that is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's sort of what I've been saying, is that people from other countries can come here and be a part of Canadian culture
right.
and love Canada. And
yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit, about immigration and those types of things, because we tend to be a country that welcomes more people. I get that, you know, even talking to this friend that we have that's from India, he has friends who... Are you watching our live video as we're doing our live video?
Looking at our live video, sorry about that.
That's all right. He has friends who came to Canada and considered Australia, New Zealand, considered going to England or to the United States, and chose Canada because Canada was one of the most welcoming places. It was an open place where you could come and you could live here and you could be welcome here. And then the question comes, what should Christians think about immigration? Should they be okay with people just coming into Canada, more and more and more people and all of this stuff? And honestly, there can be Christians that are pretty anti-immigration. And there especially comes fear and even I'd be willing to say racism or that sort of thing.
Definitely.
And I have spent time with people and talked about immigration and stuff, and they've been like, well, but we can't let all those Muslims in. We can't, right? Like, all those people from the Middle East, they got to stay away because they're just trying to come in and take over our culture and all this stuff. And we have to know what is a Christian response to that, right? Is it Christian to go, well, we can't have the Muslims come in here, we got to block them, right? We can let other people come, but we can't let Muslims come.
Yeah.
Right. And so asking the question, what does Scripture teach when it comes to those who are not of your land, and how do you treat them, and how do you welcome them or not, right? So I've got my Bible open just into Deuteronomy right now. In Deuteronomy 23, one of the, and this is a law that was about the sanctuary, the assembly of God. This is Deuteronomy 23:3. It says, "No Ammonite or Moab may enter the assembly of Yahweh. Even to the tenth generation, none of them may enter the assembly of Yahweh forever. Because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. But Yahweh your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, Yahweh your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. Because Yahweh your God loved you, you shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever." So in that particular section, it's talking about grievances that Israel had with other nations prior to their time coming into the land of Canaan and taking the land of Canaan. And God says, don't allow Ammonites or Moabites to come into the assembly. Now, I would push your, I would say, think about Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She was the ancestor of the Lord. She was somebody that should not have been able to enter the assembly. Her children were part Moabite, and they were allowed into the assembly because so this is a generalized statement that the Ammonites and the Moabites were against Israel, and so those who are against Israel shouldn't be coming into my assembly.
Right.
And in a situation that, so it wasn't prohibiting them from coming into the nation, though. Right? Ammonites and Moabites were allowed to be in the nation of Israel and sojourn there and those types of things. They just couldn't come into the assembly. So there was a distinction there. But going on in verse 7, God says, "You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you are a sojourner in his land. Children born to the third generation, born to them in the third generation, may enter the assembly of Yahweh." So now we're talking about Egyptians and Edomites, that there was problems with them. I mean, there was slavery in Egypt and those types of things.
Yeah.
And God says, don't abhor them, right? Make sure that you are not abhorring those people. Going on, actually, down into chapter 24, a couple of the things, and these are just various laws, on chapter 24, verse 14, "You shall not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your brothers or one of the sojourners who are in your land within your towns. You shall give him his wages on the same day before the sun sets, for he is poor and counts on you, lest he cry out against you to Yahweh and you be guilty of sin." So this is assuming that there are sojourners, people from other nations living in Israel, being part of the Israelite community, and that they needed to be treated with respect and dignity. Later, farther down in verse 19, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterwards. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. So these are just some things that talk about how the Israelites were to treat those who were from another nation. And they were to treat them with respect and dignity, and they were not to glean to the edges of their field. They were to leave things. They were to give charity to... They were to give support. They were to give food to the sojourner. These are all things that... This is a sojourner who is poor, who is looking for refuge, who comes to Israel. And so we can think of it in very much the same way. Somebody who is from another country, who comes to Canada, who needs help. We are not to say no to them. We're right. to say, yes, we'll help you. And we'll even give you things. We'll even make sure that you have food to eat or work. And we're going to pay you the same as we pay somebody else. We're not going to pay you less because you come from another country. So the idea of, and this happens a lot more in the States, but it happens here in Canada as well, you know, where in the States you'll have Mexican immigrants who are illegal, who come in, who get paid less than everybody else because they're illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
That's, you know, those kind of things, we are not to do that. Christians, and actually Canadians, should be, if they want to hire somebody who's a sojourner, who's from another nation, they should be able to, and they should pay them well.
That's right.
They should pay them the same as they would pay somebody who is a born Canadian.
Yeah.
And this idea also, I mean, there's certainly borders. God says, don't move your neighbor's border. Don't steal your neighbor's land.
Right.
Somebody that's been given land, that's their land, don't steal it. Right? We talked about the idea of a few weeks ago of the king coming in and taking First Nations land.
Yeah.
And that was wrong, right? That is against scripture. And we need to be sure that we are not... So we don't condone people coming in and stealing land, right? However, there's no issue with somebody coming into Canada and buying land and paying fair price for it and living on that land.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. And one of the things that scripture so often talks about those who are from other nations coming into Israel, and they are welcome to come into Israel. There's often an expectation of, you know, you aren't going to receive as much if you're a sojourner until you become Jewish, like until you get circumcised and like, but there were ways that somebody from another nation could come into the nation of Israel and live there and become an Israelite.
Yeah.
It was not solely restricted to those. I mean, Ruth is a great example of a Moabitess that was brought in and was...
Rahab the prostitute.
Right, so. Rahab,
Yeah, and I think there's definitely limits to acceptance. Right, so like in the book of Ezra, or maybe it's the book of Nehemiah. It's one of those two, Ezra or Nehemiah. They find that a whole bunch of the Israelites are married to women from other nations.
Right,
and they're forced to get divorced. And the reason that they're forced to get divorced is because the women of other faiths are going to pull the hearts of faithful men away.
Right.
From Christ, from the Lord, from Yahweh.
Yep.
Right? But it doesn't say expel them all from the land.
Right.
Right? It just says don't marry them.
Right.
Right? So there's, and like you've pointed out a whole bunch, all the way through the Old Testament especially, where there's borders for the nation of Israel, people from other nations are encouraged and welcomed to come and be in the nation and to work and to live there. But Israel was forbidden to marry them.
Right.
Israel was forbidden to go over to their ways.
Yeah.
Israel was told to stay on the Lord's ways.
Yeah.
Right? And I think one of the problems that we see in Canada right now is that we're a little bit confused, culturally confused, where we're trying to... Where one thing that we love to say is that all cultures are good and all cultures are valid, and that's not true. Not all cultures are good and valid.
Yeah.
And we try to mix and match things that shouldn't be mixed and matched.
Yeah.
And then we're surprised when there's more confusion.
Right.
Right. And so the Canada was founded on Christian values.
Yeah.
Right. Canada was a Christian nation. That's how it was founded. And so now through intermarriage, we have gone the other way.
Yeah.
And we've sort of fallen into that trap that Israel was warned against. And so now what we have to do is try to find our way back through the scriptures to God's way of doing things.
Right.
And we want to encourage the sojourners to come with us.
Right.
And we want to conform our culture, our multiculture,
yeah.
right, if you will. We want to conform that multiculture to God's will.
Right.
And those who don't come along with us, we're not going to expel them, but we're also not going to... There's going to be a wall of separation there.
So, bringing it forward to today, it's not a one-for-one equivocation.
No.
But, so, Canadians marrying those who are from another nation is not the... That's not the general equity of the law.
No.
But, no. Christians marrying non-Christians from other nations right. is.
Yeah.
So that's and that's the that's where that general equity comes in, that we have to say. So in that idea, we can have people come into our nation, but we as Christians shouldn't be, okay, well then I should be able to marry any of them that I want. Well, no, actually, if they're Hindu or Muslim or atheist or anything,
yeah.
no, you shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
But you also shouldn't do that with Canadians who are
any of those
right
things.
Because even in when it, God is talking about his people, he says if your brother or your father or your wife is trying to draw you away and saying let us go and worship other gods, you should there's consequences for that, right? So it's not like we can marry any Canadian that doesn't follow Christ, right? We have to be concerned about that. So there's And this is where Christians being aliens and strangers in a foreign land come in, is that we, to an extent, are aliens in Canada because we're a different nation within the nation of Canada.
Yeah.
And so we do straddle this line where patriotism is, and honoring those who rule over us is us having love for Canadians, for Canada. But then there's also the fact that God is our Father, and He is who we are to give the greatest honor to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our allegiance truly lies. Our patriotism is to the nation of God,
yeah.
And not to the nation of Canada. So but because we are in this world, but not of this world, we are in Canada, we are Canadians, we can love Canada. We are not of this world, so we are in the nation of God. We love God, and we love His nation.
Yeah.
And so then that brings us, so then we get this idea where from Canada, United States, South Africa, Mozambique, China, wherever there is a Christian, they are actually part of the same nation as us.
Right.
And we have affinity for them because we are of the same nation. We are of that tribe with them spiritually, but we are of the tribe Canada
physically. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a really good point to bring it around to what I had said before, which is your stories of people going to other countries and meeting Canadians and being instant friends. You hear also stories of people going to other countries and meeting Christians
right.
and having an instant connection.
Yeah.
And that's because we're part of the same family, we're part of the same culture,
right.
really.
We're part of the same nation.
And yeah and so... And this has been an issue, something to think about, ever since the beginning of the church.
Right? Right.
Well, obviously, as you can read in the Old Testament, from the beginning of God creating a people
right.
for Himself.
Yeah.
And in Ephesians, Paul actually addresses this issue, Ephesians chapter 2, where he is discussing how we are to relate to people who are unlike us in culture. And I actually said, I used the phrase before, a dividing wall of hostility.
Right.
There's a dividing wall that is between two cultures. And Paul addresses that by saying, when you become Christians, that dividing wall of hostility goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says in Ephesians 2:11, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." So he is saying in this that you have Jews and you have Gentiles. You have quote-unquote God's people and quote-unquote not God's people. But now, when it comes to the church, whether you are of this or that, the dividing wall of hostility is gone, and you are all one in Christ.
Right.
And so having multiculturalism coming into our country is not a bad thing.
Right.
So long as when you have two Christians in a room, they remember that they're Christians and that they're brothers, and that one might be from Mozambique and one might be from Canada, but both of them are one in Christ.
Yeah.
And there is no dividing line of dividing wall of hostility that sits there. We can fellowship together, we can have love for each other. But we recognize that if a person is from even from Canada and is not a believer, then there is that dividing wall.
Right.
And so it for Christians, I think it puts it in a much better perspective to say we should be focusing on church rather than nation.
Hmm.
And that our nation, having lots and lots of people from diverse backgrounds and diverse religions, is not the end of the world.
Right.
If that is happening in your church, that's a whole lot worse.
Right.
Because our true nation, our true allegiance is to the church. Our true allegiance is to Christ.
Yeah.
And that goes for wherever you're born. If you're a believer, that's your true allegiance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sense in which we are not Canadian.
Right.
Truly, we are, our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's how we ought to think. But all that to say, Canada is a great place.
Mm-hmm.
And we are blessed to have been born here.
Right.
And we should be grateful to the Lord that he has given us the opportunity to live here. It's only by his grace that we live here and not in the Gobi Desert.
Right. Well, and, you know, there are blessings here, like the fact that we can homeschool our children, right? That's legal and allowed. And
healthcare.
Right. The healthcare that we have is part of the blessing that we have living in Canada.
Water.
And yeah, lots clean, and lots of clean water. Yeah. I mean, we have roads and we have infrastructure and we've been built on Christian principles.
Beavers.
And moose. I mean, I guess they have moose elsewhere, but
yeah.
It's, you know, those are kinds of things that are blessings of living in this country. And yep, there are problems with the country. And that's why, as Christians, we should be fighting for more Christian principles to guide us.
Reformation.
Right. We should be seeking for God's laws to be put as the laws of this land, because that would make Canada an even better place to live. It would make Canada a wonderful, free place to live, to have Canadian laws and Canadian principles.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. I think that's it for today.
So go celebrate Canada Day.
Yes.
And if you live in Creston.
Yeah.
If you live in I'm trying to Halifax.
Right.
If you live in Miramichi, if you live in Tuktoyaktuk, go celebrate Canada Day.
Yeah.
It's a great holiday. It's a great opportunity for you to celebrate the grace of God in your life that has brought you here.
Right.
To live in this land. Whether you came out of the womb here or whether you flew over the ocean to get here.
Yeah.
Be grateful and celebrate God's grace that you can live here and you can be a part of this amazing land.
Right. Well, if you've been listening to us since the beginning of this, thanks for listening to us for a year, and we'll hopefully in a year we'll still be doing this thing.
Totally.
If you just started listening to us, thanks. Please go and give us a review. It helps us to gain more audience if we have reviews from people.
Share us on Facebook.
Yeah, share us on Facebook. Tell your friends about us. And if you want to contact us, you can find us at godkeeparland.org. Or you can send us an email, contact@godkeeparland.org. Or on Facebook. That's always a good one, too. So, thanks for listening today. Thanks for watching. I think only James was watching, but thanks, James, for watching. Appreciate you watching and commenting on our video. And happy Canada Day, everybody.
Happy Canada Day.
We'll catch you on the flippity flip.